are to go into heaven. There might be somebody you that's here today that's not sure that you're going to heaven. I hope you'll put it on your GPS system, God's preparation for salvation. That's heaven. Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. And I tell you what, beloved, heaven's been on my mind. Maybe it's being with so many people here lately and being with them through life and death and being with families. Yesterday, the two services, and heaven's on my mind. It's just on my mind. And it kind of reminds me of the story of the little boy that the Sunday school teacher was talking with him about going to heaven and said, "How many of you want to go to heaven?" Everybody raised their hand in the class except for one little boy. And she said to this boy, she said, "Son, don't you want to go to heaven? Why didn't you raise your hand?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, I want to go to heaven, but I thought you was getting up a group right now, and I'm not quite ready to go yet." You understand? And I got a feeling some of you may not be ready to go yet. But I hope you know that you know that you know. The title of the message today is Heaven's on My Mind. Heaven's on my mind. And by the way, it should affect, yea, change us even day by day. And what we're going in the message, as God put it on my heart this week to share with you, there are four reasons why heaven ought to be on your mind. There are four reasons why heaven ought to be on your mind. Hey, none of us are promised of tomorrow. And there's four reasons that you ought to have heaven in your sight. And I want to invite you to turn to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Find your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And here's the text for today. Heaven's on our mind. Yes, it is. And I believe heaven's going to be a wonderful place. And in the light of all that's going on in our world, and some of us are going through troubles and trials, I tell you, there's nothing else that so encourages me to know that my destination is heaven, where there's no more troubles and sorrows and so forth and so on. Oh, listen, but you know, speaking of heaven, I ran across some headlines as you're looking for 2 Peter chapter 3. The media sometimes really fans the flame on some of the things going on in our world. And I ran across something I cut out a while back. But anyway, it says this: if today some of the biblical events were taking place, here's how the media would react to it. On crossing the Red Sea, somebody said it would be titled, "Wetlands Trampled in Labor Strike, Pursuing Environmentalists and They Were Killed." Somebody said about David and Goliath, "Hate crime kills beloved champion. Psychologist questions influence of rock." That's how the media would write about some of these things in the Bible. For example, on Mount Carmel, we were there not long ago, a couple of years ago, Elijah. They would say this in the media: "Fire sends religious right extremists into frenzy, 400 killed." That's how they would report it. On the birth of Christ, here's how they would report it: "Hotels are full, animals left homeless. Animal rights activists enraged by insensitive couple." Isn't that something? How the media would report that. On feeding the 5,000. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? Somebody said the media would probably report it this way: "Preacher steals child's lunch. Disciples mystified over the behavior." On healing the 10 lepers, somebody said the media would put it this way: "Local doctor's practice ruined. Faith healer causes bankruptcy." On the healing of the Gadarene demoniac, it would be reported this way: "Madman's friend causes stampede. Local farmer's investment lost." Oh, they didn't care about a man that had been delivered and cast demons, a legion of them, out of him. And then finally, on raising Lazarus from the dead, somebody said it would be written in this fashion: "Fundamentalist preacher raises a stink. The will be delayed for later." Isn't it amazing how things are construed in our world? I want to read the chapter 3, and I'll tell you where to turn in a moment. But everybody's aware of the fact Peter is the sandman that's turned into the rock man. Peter was gloriously saved as Andrew brings him to Jesus and changed by the power of the living God. And yet Peter had his flaws, his challenges, like we all do. The carnal man, then he turns into the spiritual man. He got his mouth in gear before his thoughts got in gear, like I do at times. Nonetheless, Peter writes in the first epistle concerning the persecution that has taken place and will take place for God's people, the suffering element. And yet we come to the second epistle of Peter, and note this, the fact that Peter is refuting, yea, addressing the false teachers during his day. In fact, some, as we come to chapter number 3, will find out that we're mocking and making fun of the fact that Jesus would come again. But I love the fact that Peter is up in age now, and he realizes he's going off the scene, and he wants to make a difference. Yes, leave a lasting legacy. What kind of legacy are you going to leave? What are people going to say about you when you're gone? What will be portrayed as to your legacy? Oh, some things are worth fighting for. Your testimonies worth fighting for. Your ministries worth fighting for. Your families worth fighting for. Your legacies worth fighting for. And we come to this third chapter of the book of 2 Peter. And Peter says, stir up your minds, the remembrance of your mind. I've got heaven on my mind. Is heaven on your mind? How many are looking forward to going to heaven? I believe that heaven's a prepared place again for prepared people. 2 Peter chapter 3, if you'd like to stand, we read 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 10. And I want to just simply share with you this devotional message that God has placed in my heart. If you're here today and you're not absolutely certain that you're going to heaven, I believe this message is directly for you. And if you are here today and you know you've got a home in heaven, I believe this message is for you as well. It helps to keep you focused. It helps to keep things in perspective that God has prepared a place for His people. And meanwhile, until then, there's work to do. Work today while it's day, for the night comes, Jesus said, when no man can work. Chapter 3, verse 10, if you're there, say amen. But the day of the Lord, that's a key phrase throughout the book of Joel, throughout the book of Acts, throughout the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 or chapter 5, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the day of the Lord. Specifically speaking, that 1,007 years, generally speaking, and more specifically when Christ comes again to the earth. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Look at verse number 11. Seeing that these, I preached from this not long ago, but by the way, if you date your Bible, it doesn't mean I'm preaching the same message. I can take the text and preach it five different times and five different Sundays and not say the same thing twice. A lot of people look at their Bible and they mark it. I'm glad you do. Date it. But just because you got it dated doesn't mean I'm going to preach the same message. Entirely different message, all right? Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation? That is lifestyle and godliness. I love verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, mark it, we'll come back to it. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, oh yes, according to His promise, we, according to His promise. Let's say that together. According to His promise. One more time. I can't hear you. According to His promise. We, according to His promise, look for a new heaven. We look for the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Are you looking for the new heaven and the new earth? Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look, underline that word look, we'll come back to it. Seeing that you look, are you looking for the new heaven, the new earth? Look for such things. Be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace and without spot and blameless. He's saying this. Peter, in the light inspired by the Holy Spirit, no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19-20. But Peter's saying this, in the light of heaven, it will change you on a daily basis. Come back again to verse number 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the loving the long-suffering, rather, of our Lord is salvation, even of as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, in which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Underline that word rest. It means to twist. They rest, keep on reading, they rest as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. He's saying there's false teachers out there. He's saying that there are people to be, you know what's a dangerous thing for a man to hold a Bible and claim to be a called of God and then just start inserting, insinuating his own opinion. The Bible is written historically and it is to be correctly interpreted, and there's a lot of people out there, and God knows that I'm not arrived either, but be careful of people who say, well, I've studied the Bible and I know the Bible, and this is what it says to me, and so be careful. There's a right way and a wrong way to interpret the Bible, and that's where cults get started and fads and David Koresh and Applewhite and Jim Jones and the whole nine yards. The Bible was written and by the Spirit of God. It's to be interpreted by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know that these things before, beware lest you also being led astray, led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You wouldn't think people would follow David Koresh. You wouldn't think people would follow Jim Jones. Smart people, medical people, educated people, renowned people that are in the business world, yet they can be deceived, and we can be deceived too. Look at verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And the church said, amen and amen and amen. Father, I thank you now for the Word of God. Lord, I've got heaven on my mind today, and I thank you, Lord, for your promises and for your peace that passes understanding, and God, for your precious blood that washes our sin away. Lord, I've got heaven on my mind, and I pray, God, that you'll somehow, some way, raise us up in heavenly places to sit with you. Give us, Father, heaven's gaze. Give us, Lord, the look whereby we can look to you and keep running the race and keep fighting the good fight of faith and keep making a difference while there's time. Oh, Father, thank you again for your word and your mighty power. And I ask you now in the name of Jesus for every need to be met, for generational sins to be broken, for strongholds to be crushed, and Father, for the saints to be refreshed, and for the saints, dear God, your people to be renewed in their heart. For you said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God, we bless you. The best is yet to come. Oh, God, I thank you that, Lord, I'm looking forward one day to spending all eternity with you. But, Father, until then, oh, blessed God, do a work in my heart. Cleanse me of every sin of omission and commission. And, Father, make us your church, the blood-bought, the blood-washed, a pure bride. And, Father, forgive us of hypocrisy and forgive us of judgmental spirits, and forgive us, Father, of walking in the flesh and warring of the flesh. And God, help us to keep our eyes and our hearts fixed on heaven, where we eagerly await the return of our Lord Jesus. And again, we love you today because of your love. I bless you, Lord. We're kept by your power. We're in your double grip, and nothing can separate us from your love. So manifest your glory. Lord, send mighty waves of your revelation in our hearts, and give us grace to, Father, hear you speak and obey you, and change us, Lord, from glory to glory. Fill up this empty vessel. Fill up this church. And we praise you now, all you're up to, all you're doing, because you are the living God of heaven and earth, and there is none else like you. You are God supreme, and we bow before you and worship you and say hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. It in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. You may be seated. I want to carry you four reasons why you and I ought to have heaven on our mind. Heaven's a real place. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. Here's where we're going in the message, and I derive it from the text. Number one, heaven is, notice, heaven is a perfect place. Number two, heaven is not only a perfect place, heaven is a postponed place. I find that from verse 13 and 14. We'll come back to it in a moment. Number three, heaven's not only a perfect place and a postponed place. I'll explain in just a moment. But thirdly, heaven is a promised place. That's found again in verse 13. We look according to His promise. And then finally, heaven is not only a perfect place and a postponed place and a promised place. Heaven is a praising place. If you don't know how to praise God, you're going to have a heart attack when you get to heaven. You might as well learn how to praise God now. You might as well bless the Lord now. You might as well just say, God, I know I've been sleepy. I know I've been in a slumber. I know I've been backslidden. I know that I've been lukewarm. I know that I hadn't been praising you. God, you've been good to me, and I don't care if anybody else praises you. I want to praise you because you sure been good to me. And you see, God has been good to all of us, hadn't He? Oh, yes, He has. Number one, heaven is a perfect place. I get that. Look at the text, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Heaven is a perfect place. I mean, perfect. Won't that be wonderful to get to heaven, have a perfect place? No more flaws, no more sin. By the way, you know what's going to be in heaven? It's going to be pain-free. How many are glad about that? Pain-free. Get that now. No more Advil, no more Tylenol, no more chemotherapy, no more radiation in heaven. A pain-free heaven. I'm talking about no more sickness. Revelation 21:4. John said, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Neither shall there be any more death, nor sorrow, nor pain. Neither shall there be any more pain or crying, for the former things are passed away. In heaven, there's not going to be any more pain. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm looking forward, praise God, no more pain. We won't have to worry about going to the doctor or having this problem or that problem. It'll be a pain-free place. Number two, it'll be a pardon-free place. It'll be a pardon-free place. What I mean, Brother Pastor, it's a place where there's not going to be any more sin. There's not going to be any more rioting. There's not going to be any more defilement in heaven, because in Revelation 21 and 22, the Bible, John writing, says in heaven, there's going to be a perfect place where the street are like transparent glass. I know we sing that song, Streets of Gold, but technically speaking, it's singular, not plural. Street of Gold. Read your Bible, Revelation 21. I know the songs, we say that, but technically speaking, it is the street paved in transparent glass. Think about it. The walls more colorful than the color of a beautiful rainbow. Think about it. The gates, the pearly gates, beautiful pearls. I'm talking about nothing could we describe in this side of heaven. It's going to be what heaven is going to look like. No more sin, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more pain, no more death. I'm telling you, yesterday when I was at the funeral home up in Covington, I said to the family that was waiting, I said, praise God, there's not going to be any more undertakers in heaven. All right. I'm not saying they're not going to heaven, but I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Are you looking for the upper taker? Oh, yes. Think about heaven. Pain-free, pardon-free. I'm glad when we get to heaven, it won't be because of our good works. It'll be by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Do you know that you know? Hey, look, pardon free. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve it at all. But because Jesus Christ came and lived a life without sin, a life I couldn't live. He never cheated, He never lied. And yet He was willing to die for me and for you. He was willing to lay down His life. Oh, who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Have you ever put your faith in Him? Have you ever said, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. I know I can't get to heaven any other way. Not good works, not church membership, not baptism, not tears. Oh, there's only one way, and it's the blood sprinkle way. Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? That's the question. By grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a pain-free place. It's a pardon-free place. But you know what I got to thinking about heaven? Heaven's on my mind. Heaven's going to be a perfect place. You know what else it's going to be like in heaven? It's going to be a politically free place. Isn't that wonderful? I got to thinking about that. Somebody said, you know the difference in a mosquito and an IRS man. I said, what? You know the difference in a mosquito and IRS man. No, what's the difference? One's a blood-sucking parasite. The other's an insect. You'll get it later, all right? Hey, in heaven, it will not only be pain-free, it will not only be pardon-free, but thank God in heaven, it's going to be politically free. Now listen, I got to thinking about it. You know, Pastor, every once in a while, he just gets on a tangent. I got to thinking about it. If Donald Trump's there, I don't know if he is, but if he is, he won't have to worry about his hairdo. Think about it. Isn't that wonderful? And by the way, if Hillary Clinton's there, notice I said if Hillary Clinton's there, if Donald Trump's there, if Hillary Clinton's there, she won't have to worry about Bill. She won't have to look up Bill, find out where he's at. Somebody say amen. Can I just say something? Did y'all hear the speech the other night? I know y'all want to play it safe, so anyway. Amen. It'll be a politically free place. Thank God we've gotten there by grace alone, through faith alone. We'll march through the pearly gates and say, hallelujah, I'm made it to heaven. By the way, you know, you might be in the ninth inning of your life. You might be two outs, and you might have a full count on your plate right now. You might go out in eternity before the sun goes down. And I'll tell you, one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. You might be in the seventh inning stretch. You might be in the fifth inning. I doubt very seriously any in here in the first inning, amen. We're talking about little babies. What inning are you in your life? Don't you want to finish faithful? Oh, don't you want to finish well? It's not how you start in this race. It's how you finish it matters. Heaven's a perfect place. Secondly, heaven is a postponed place. How do I get that? Look at the text, would you? A postponed place. Look at chapter number 3 and verse number 10 and 11. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works therein are burned therein shall be burned up. Verse 11. Seeing that these things, all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you be in all holy conversation and godliness? Peter's saying, because of heaven, it's a perfect place, but it's a postponed place. We're not there yet. We can have a little heaven here on earth, but how should we live now? What does God want us to do now? Look at verse number 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. That is, be haste. Make haste. Seize the opportunity. Hey, look, there's opportunities for you to serve God and me to serve God. Look for such things. Be diligent that you may be found of him, of peace and peace, and without spot and blameless. I'll tell you, God really birthed this in my heart. It's not only going to be a perfect place, it's going to be a postponed place. What I mean? Three thoughts. Here they are. Looking, learning, and living. Looking, learning, and living. Did you get that? Where'd I get that from? It's been postponed. You see what Peter said? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Are you looking for heaven? Are you gazing up toward the sky? Are you preparing for that sweet by and by? Do you have your focus on heaven today? Or is your focus on all your problems, all your heartaches, all the things going wrong in your life, all the issues you can't fix? Hey, listen, beloved, I'm convinced the enemy wants to bind us down, and the enemy wants to cripple us, and the enemy wants to
debilitate us spiritually when we get all this care and all this, come on, talk to me, and all this worry and all these problems. We can't fix them, and then we can't really enjoy life. We can't enjoy the bliss of God's presence and God's peace and God's power because we're overwhelmed with information overload and care overload and anxiety troubles and issues like bills and payments and money and people that we can't fix. But the devil knows if we just look to heaven. Let me ask you this. Are you looking? Where is your look? Where is your focus today? Hey, heaven is a postponed place, but we ought to be looking for that return of Jesus. We ought to be looking for Him and looking for to get together with Him in glory. Hey, how many of you ever plowed a mule? Have y'all ever plowed a mule? Anybody ever plowed a mule? One? Anybody else? I've never plowed a mule in my life. But they tell me, Brother Bud and Brother John, if you plow a mule, they say, I've had some of our men tell me this, they say you get that plow. And remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, verse 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, and 62. He said, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Hey, look, brother, in this old life, you put your hand to the plow and you look back. What's going to happen when you're plowing, Brother Bud? What's going to happen when you're plowing, Brother John? If you start looking around here and looking around here and that old mule is pulling that plow, you're going to get zigzagging. You're not going to be plowing straight. You're distracted. You're looking at other things. I suggest to you today that we've got a lot of things pulling on our focus today. And some of us today, we don't have our look toward heaven. We're looking at this. We're looking at that. We're looking at this instead of looking to Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we all so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience, looking to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the Father on high. Can I tell you what happened to me last week? It was Saturday last week. We gathered around Lorraine's bedside. Remember, Diane, you were there. Your other sisters were there. And one question was asked as we gathered around her bedside. She had passed away through the night. Went to sleep on Friday night. Woke up in heaven on Saturday morning. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, heaven's a real place. But as we gathered around the bedside, there she was in the bed. She wasn't there. Her body was there. She was absent from the body, present with the Lord. We gathered around the bedside, all the children, that is all the girls, you remember? And we prayed. And I'll never forget, in the midst of that prayer, one of the sisters turned to me and said, Pastor Randy, is Mama looking at us now? I said, bless God, I believe according to Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I can't be dogmatic about it, but I believe, beloved, everybody's not in agreement, but I in my sanctified imagination believe there's a crowd in heaven leaning over heaven's balcony. Somehow, some way, I don't understand it, beloved, I don't understand it. Somehow, some way, they are cheering us on, whether they're able to see us or not. I know this. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be known even as I'm known. You say you're going to know loved ones? Yeah. How do I know that? Remember, there's Jesus with his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's found in Mark chapter 9. It's found in Matthew chapter 17. What happened? Peter, James, and John, they're up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is being glorified. What happened? Who showed up? Remember? Who showed up? Yeah. Moses showed up. How in the world they know it was Moses? I can't hear you. He had been gone a long time, hadn't he? I said he had been dead a long time, hadn't he? He died on Mount Nebo. They knew him, didn't they? You think you're going to know your loved ones in heaven? I got an absolute certainty you are. Now we see through glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then we shall know even as we are known. And by the way, I've said it before and I want to say it again. When I get to glory, praise God, I'm going to say, Stephen. Stephen's going to look like Jesus. Stephen, you look like Jesus. Hallelujah. Jennifer, you look like Jesus.
1 John chapter 3, verses 1, 2 says, "Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. It doth not appear what we should be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone that hath this hope purifies himself, even as he is pure." But wait a minute. If you're plowing that plow and you're marching behind that mule, here's the key. Here's the key. Don't miss it. These men, Bud can testify, John can testify. I don't know if y'all did this or not, but I've been told, if you set your focus on a tree off in the distance, something that does not move, and you don't look to the left and you don't look to the right, you look straight ahead, and you got that plow, if you keep your focus on what's ahead, you'll plow a straight furrow. Am I right? Oh, but if you look here and look there, it's going to be zigzag. I want to ask you a question. Where is your focus today? Looking to Jesus. Will you look to the Lord now? Pastor, I've been depressed. Pastor, I don't know if I can carry on. I got a call last Sunday afternoon. A man said, "I've been depressed. I've been down. I'm thinking about ending my life." This happens quite often. People in this world are getting discouraged. But wait a minute. If you could just, if right now, will you look to Jesus right now? Will you look to Jesus right now? "Look unto me and be saved, all you ends of the earth." I've got a feeling if you can just look to Jesus with the eye of faith, your problems will become minute compared to his glory, compared to his majesty, compared to his sovereignty. God is a real God. Jesus is on his throne. He's the King of glory. He's got everything under control. He rules and reigns, and one day he's coming in power and glory. Child of God, we just need to look up, because our redemption draws nigh. Psalm 121, "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord." Oh, yes. Are you looking to the Lord? Number two, are you living? First word, looking. Heaven's a perfect place. Heaven's a postponed place. How shall I live now? Looking to Jesus, the author, the finisher of my faith. "Lord, you know what I'm going through. You made me. You bought me. You're able. You know our frame." God says he knows every hair on our head. Not one sparrow can fall to the earth that God doesn't know about. Isn't that amazing? And yet God knows what you're going through. Looking. Number two, living. Living. Where do I get that from? I'm sorry. Number two is learning. We'll come to living in a moment. But look here and learning. Look at verse number 16. Also, in all of his epistles, he's talking about Paul, because he just mentioned him in verse 15. "Speaking in them of these things, and which some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. And you therefore, beloved, seeing you know that these things before, beware, lest you also, having been led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." In Peter's day, and here's the picture, beloved. Here's the picture. Look up here. Here's the picture. Twisting the scripture. Making it sound the way you want it to sound. Oh, you can take the Bible and take a text out of context and just about make it say anything you want it to say. Somebody say amen. And there's somebody, it's just easy to do. Jesus said to the disciples, "What you do, do quickly." Judas went out and hung himself. Somebody could take that text and say, "Jesus told me to commit suicide." You see how error can come in to your interpretation? It's important that we understand the Bible historically, contextually, grammatically, doctrinally, and practically, those aspects. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," cutting it straight. You see, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We're students of the Bible. Hey, can I ask y'all a question? Tell me the truth. Y'all listen to me. Look up here a moment. Tell me the truth now. Tell me the truth. Will you be honest with me? Shake your head if you'll be honest. Will you be honest with me? Thank you. Will you be honest with me? How many of you, tell the truth now, this is time for self-examination. How many of you would say today, "Pastor, I'm further than I was last year at this time in July. I'm growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. I'm further than I was last year. I want to learn of the Word of God. Are you further than you were last year? If you're not further than you were last year, you've gotten stagnant. You need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Not just information, but application. And by the way, are you further in the ministry that God's called you? You might not be full-time pastor, like the privilege I have, but you're called of God to serve Him. Are you further in the ministry this year than you were last year? Can I tell you something? And this is self-evaluation. I said, Lord, am I where you want me to be? Let me say this, and I'm saying this for no other reason, no ulterior motives. Yesterday when I preached the message in the funeral service, you know, God, people know how to flatter us. A man came up to me after the service. He's from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He said, are you looking for a church? He said, we need a pastor at our church. Well, that's flattering, of course. And I said, no, I'm where God wants me to be right now. And I believe that's where God wants me. But wait a minute, beloved. Are you where God wants you to be? Hey, look, we got to do some self-evaluation. And can I just tell y'all, I'm not bragging or boasting. God knows. I just want to encourage you. Because I know it's a challenge for me to keep pressing on. I don't want to get, you've been to school, degrees, all that stuff. Yeah, you're going to school, so what? But wait, here's the deal. Are you in the ministry further this year than you were last year? You ought to be pressing on. Living, looking, learning, learning, learning. God's doing some great things in my life. I tell you, I'm just thrilled. But wait a minute. See if you agree with me. Sometimes when the door opens up, if you don't walk through it, it will close. You have got to seize the opportunity. And the flesh will just tell you to get it curled up on the couch and just keep watching TV and don't worry about anything else. Come on, talk to me. The door will crack open. God's opening the door for you. But if you don't walk through it, it will close. And I don't always walk through it. But I want to tell you this. Heaven's been postponed. Looking. Learning. Number 3, living. Look at verse 18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be growing. This word is in the present tense. It means keep on growing. I want God showing me new things. Yes, I've been a pastor 28 years of a local church and saved 34 years. So what? God's not impressed with that. God wants to know where you're at today. Do you have a heart for Him today? Are you hungering and thirsting for God today? Are you willing to say, here am I, Lord, use me? That's the question, not how long you've been in the church. As I said, Lorraine told me when I first met her back 25 years ago, she said, Pastor, I've been in the church for since 1947. I said, no disrespect, Sister Lorraine. I don't care how long you've been in the church. I want to know if you've been born again. And I want to know what you're serving God. You think God's going to say there's some kind of seniority in heaven just because you've been in church a long time or just because you serve a long time? I commend that. That's commendable, no doubt. But God's asking, what is your heart like today? Are you walking with God today? Are you fellowshipping with God today, right now? Looking, learning. Hey, how many of you ever played the game Monopoly? Have you ever played the game Monopoly? Have you played it? Y'all played it, Monopoly? We used to play it as a child. Do you ever play it? You know, when you play Monopoly, the goal, the aim of the game is what? Man, you go around that board, and how many like Park Place? Man, you get that money, put it in your pocket, and then you get all that real estate. Woo! Real estate. Money, real estate. Money, 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 money. Real estate. I'm rich. Wait a minute. When the game's over, what happens? You put it back in the box. Game's over. No more real estate. No more money. Game's over. Y'all look at me. One of these days, the game's going to be over here on life. Here on earth called life. And you know what? All of that stuff that we're accumulating, it's got to go back in the box. I can't hear you. You're not going to take a truck with you. You're not going to take your car with you. You're not going to take your house with you. You're not going to take your land with you. You're not going to take your diamond ring with you. You're not going to take those fancy clothes with you. What's here on earth, you're going to have to put it back in the box. Boy, doesn't that put things in perspective. And by the way, when you put it back in the box, others are going to fight over it. Rat race. We're all rats, and you know whoever wins the race, you're still a rat, all right? No, I'm just kidding. But you put it back in the box. Doesn't the world have a way of saying, oh, you just need this, you need this, you need this, you got to have this, you got to have this. And we work like a dog. We work like a dog. We spend all of our money, all of our time in trying to build our castles here below, and it's going to go back in the box. Think about it. But wait a minute. Jesus said, lay up not yourselves treasures on earth where what? Rust and moth does decay. But do what? Lay up your treasures where? In heaven, where neither rust or moth does not decay. Now, I know there's nothing wrong with God blessing you. Hallelujah. But it's going back in the box when you leave this old world. And by the way, did you hear about the man one time told his wife, he said, I'm taking my money with me. And when I die, I want you to put all my money in my casket. So the day he died, she walked up to the casket and wrote a check and put it in it, all right? He had it. She obeyed it as well. Hey, you're not going to take anything with you, right? I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse, have you? Oh, it's going to go back in the box. It's going back in the box. Everything you got is going back in the box. Oh, but I'm working all my life, and I'm spending all these hours, and I'm stressed, and I'm doing all this stuff. I just want stuff, stuff, stuff. And Solomon said, that stuff ain't going to make you happy. You can have all the stuff in the world, it's still not make you happy. No, loving God, serving God is going to make you happy. You know that deep down inside. That's the only thing. And so heaven's a perfect place, a postponed place. Thirdly, and I've got to quickly hit it in high gear, heaven's going to be a promised place. Look at it. Verse number 13. Nevertheless, we according to his promise. We according to his promise. How many know that if God's promised us things in the past and he's kept them, he's going to promise us things in the future, and you better believe he's going to fulfill them. You believe that? All the promises of God in Jesus are yea and in him. Amen. Hey, our daughter's getting married in September. September the 17th, I think. Anyway. Yeah, September 17th. And you know what? She said to me, she said, Dad, I'm going wedding dress shopping. I mean, know what I'm talking about. And she said, and I said, well, Beth, you know we're on a budget. And all the dads said, and all the ladies said, oh, me? Anyway, she went shopping, her Indiana did, and she was sending me text messages, pictures of her dress with her dressed up in it, smiling about this big. And finally she found a dress within the budget. And I said, Beth, you like it? Yes, I like it. Well, we'll get that dress for you. We'll have to pay payments on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You've been there too, I can tell. But I promise you, as your dad, God willing, we'll get that dress for you. About 2 weeks ago, we paid it off. It's hanging in her room. I promised Beth, my daughter, that we'd get her that wedding dress. And now we have it. If me, being an earthly father, promises my daughter a wedding dress, how much more will our Heavenly Father promise us things? I just feel like shouting. Oh, God, he's promised to be with us. He's promised not to leave us. He's promised no matter what.
We've got a place in heaven. And last but not least, heaven's a perfect place. It's a postponed place. It's a promised place. But wait a minute. It's a place of praise. It's a place of praise. Look at that last part of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Look at that. I like this. Grow in grace, verse 18, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at the last part. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. One of these days, beloved, I'm putting up a for sale sign right here. This old body is going up for sale. I'm moving out of this old body one day. I'm telling you, I've got a home in heaven. One day I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus. I'm going to put up a for sale sign and say, thank God, I've got a builder whose maker is God. We've got a lot to look forward to in heaven because heaven is a real place for a real people. One of these days, we're going to exit out of this life and the life to come, and we're going to be able to enjoy eternity all over with Jesus and praise Him and bless Him and not have to worry about looking at a clock. Amen. We're going to worship the living God and praise Him. The very reason we were created. Heaven is a perfect place. Pain free. It's pardon free. And not only that, but it is a postponed place. Are you living? Are you learning? Are you looking? It's also a promised place. And God says His promises in Jesus there, yea, and in Him, amen. It's also a praising place. Get ready for heaven. It's going to be a time where we join the redeemed of God throughout all the ages, and won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful to see the saints that have gone on before us, like Abraham and Enoch and Moses and Paul and Peter? But wait a minute, I want to see Jesus. It's going to be worth it all when we get to heaven and bow at His feet and say, you are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being with me. I'm telling you, we can have a little heaven here on earth, and the church needs to say, Lord, we look forward to that day, that homegoing celebration, but until then, help us to be faithful till you call us home. Let's stand up together, can we?